Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And welcome to the World Meeting of Families. We are live for EWTN Radio from the convention floor in the City of Brotherly Love. Teresa Tomeo here along with Elena Rodriguez and Tom Price from EWTN Radio. Good to see you both. And good to be back here on the convention floor. And we're here with the chickens. Very quiet right now.
It is very quiet. I believe this area here, the exhibit hall, opens around noon.
Okay.
So for right now, it's just us-ins.
Just us-ins, but we're
very different from yesterday.
Yes, no, we're having a great time. No forklifts going by this
Yay.
Morning.
Yeah. Yay.
It was fun yesterday because it was setup day, as we explained on Catholic Connection in both our local and national hours. And literally, we had forklifts going back and forth in front of the EWTN booth.
Beep,
they were rolling
beep,
out
beep,
carpet
beep, beep.
And doing all kinds of little construction elements within this massive exhibit hall. But I always love seeing all the different Catholic apostolates, because I think that right now in the history of the Church, there's been no better time for us to be situated to reclaim the faith and to bring so many people home. Wouldn't you agree?
And it was beautiful. You could actually breathe in that beautiful family atmosphere. I was watching the Salesian Sisters of Don Bosco set up their booth yesterday. Lovely young ladies. They were like all bubbly and just making sure that all the curtain was hung nicely and everything was in place. And I saw their booth as they were beginning to build it and then when they were almost done. And it was just like a family working together.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I did get my first baby fix yesterday. I've been taking lots of fun pictures that are on my Facebook page and also on EWTN's Facebook page. Michelle Johnson, our wonderful communications director, is here in Philly, and we're sharing photos and different clips that we're taking here on the floor and in the convention hall. But I was walking out of the convention center, and one of our listeners from Maine, listening on the Presence Radio.
Really?
He actually used to volunteer for Presence Radio and stopped me. And he says, oh, I love EWTN. I'm so glad you guys are here. Well, he had the most adorable baby. Her name is Isabella. And he was there with his wife and his young child. And so I did a quick interview with them.
Yeah.
And they were just so excited to be here. And then I spoke with some sisters from North Carolina, also huge EWTN fans. Their first papal event ever. They're staying all week for the Congress.
Wow.
But then they're also staying throughout the weekend to see the Holy Father when he comes in on Saturday. So it's pretty exciting stuff going on here.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I also want to make one little bit of a housekeeping note here.
Sure.
It is very, very rare that EWTN Radio is not broadcasting the Mass at this hour. We're doing a special program here, but the Mass is actually the Mass this morning from Cuba with the Holy Father, and it's going on right now. People can check in out on EWTN television. They can also go to EWTNradio.net, click on our other network, Radio Plus. That's where we're carrying the Holy Father live from Cuba. You can also check it out on the EWTN app.
And so you can keep us on, and you could turn your television on. You can have a surround sound with EWTN. I love it.
You know, that's what we actually have right here at the booth.
Yes.
We actually have a big monitor here with the Holy Father celebrating the Mass, so people can watch as they come by.
So now you and Elena will be doing a show every day starting today, correct?
Yep.
Right after I get off the air at 10 o'clock, you hit the airwaves?
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We've got some great interviews lined up. Elena has worked very diligently getting all these folks. You know, I was thinking about one of your guests this morning, James Littleton.
Mm-hmm.
The name of his apostolate sums up why we are here. Mm-hmm. The name of his apostolate is Forming Faithful Families.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we all need to be about.
Exactly, exactly. And families come in all different shapes and sizes.
Sure.
But what we're doing here is uplifting the family. And I was doing some research this morning before I came over to the convention center. I actually was on one of our big stations in Detroit talking about the conference and
sure.
and got some really great publicity for EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Right.
The commentator, Paul W. Smith, I know with whom you're familiar because you and I are both old radio folks, right?
Yeah.
And that's a big station, WJR, in
it
Detroit.
Is.
And he spent about 2 minutes leading into the interview talking about EWTN. I'm like, thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll
send you a check in the mail. But
yeah.
It's been interesting in terms of the coverage that we've been getting because we've been able to talk about this actual meeting here. The World Meeting of Families is something that was the brainchild of John Paul II beginning in 1994 and actually has been taking place every 3 years. But this is the first time the Congress is here, the World Meeting of Families, in the United States.
Yeah, it really is a first, and it's a historic moment in the life of the church in the United States.
17,000, according to a press release that came out this morning from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, 17,000 pilgrims are registered for this event. There is a press conference today at 11:30 featuring Archbishop Paglia from the Pontifical Council for the Family, along with, of course, Archbishop Chaput from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Now, the opening will be starting at about 1 o'clock, and we will be on with Johnette and Doug Keck. They'll have gavel-to-gavel coverage. There's also an opening mass later today. This afternoon, and it's going to be really beautiful. They have a couple of the forklifts are back.
Uh-oh.
Here they come. If you hear some natural sound in the background, but there will be some really neat events. The Pietà. Did you see it when you walked into the copy of the Pietà?
Yeah.
Apparently, there are 100 copies made from the actual mold of the original.
Wow.
Pietà, and this is one of them. There'll be a blessing of that beautiful statue on the main floor of the convention center. There's also going to be an event to hopefully break a world record with a mural painting today involving pilgrims from the event. So this is all going on this, the opening day of the World Meeting of Families here in Philadelphia. And with 17,000 pilgrims, and according to when we were in the press room yesterday, the convention center folks from Philadelphia said, what, around 5,000 media are registered just for this event.
A lot of media. So you've got to wonder if this is supposedly the church that is tired, not with it.
Irrelevant.
Not hip, not with the times. Then why are there 5,000 media here, and not just Catholic media, because that's a very small division of all media, but everybody is here.
Right, yeah, and I was in watching the local television, you can see all the big plans they have to cover the event this week. So we're doing our best also to make sure there's a lot of emphasis on the amazing speakers that are lined up for this week. Helen Avery, Bishop Barron, Matt Pinto, our friend from Ascension Press, Danielle Bean, Dr. Greg Popcheck. Deacon Harold Silvers is going to be speaking. He's actually going to be on your show, I think, later today, isn't he? Yeah. And so he's one of the speakers. Most of the speakers, I would say, there's not one that people aren't familiar with from EWTN.
Yeah, this is really a lot like a family reunion, isn't it?
It is.
But writ large, because there are so many apostolates here. The Knights of Columbus have an enormous booth.
Right behind us, actually. Yeah.
Because... Mm-hmm. Not to make a big splash, but just to say how committed they are to the family.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional family is really the building block, not just of the United States, but of all society. That is the key thing. We can't take that for granted.
And I think that's what I tried to stress in my secular interview that I did this morning, that people are excited about the Pope as interviewer was asking me, what's the city look like? He had worked in Philadelphia in radio, I guess, many years ago. And I said, the city looks great. We had some wonderful meals so far this week in a newly refurbished area of Philadelphia. There are banners all over welcoming the Pope and the Pope's face. And you see him every time you turn a corner, and that's wonderful. But we really are hoping that more people will concentrate on this beautiful event this week, which is taking up many important issues of the family. So that's what we're going to try to do, tell you what's happening this week, leading into, of course, the Holy Father's big wrap-up weekend before he heads home on Sunday, of course. And then when he gets back next week, he is in for even more hard work with the Synod coming up. And we'll be there. EWTN will be there as well.
Yeah, looking forward to all of that. And EWTN is behind all this and spent really an awful lot of money, quite honestly, to be here, all of our behind-the-scenes folks, and that's because we believe in the family, and we understand the importance of the family and how we can't take any of this for granted, because, look, the world is coming at us in a bazillion different ways and without even stopping to catch a breath.
Amen.
So we have to be here. We have to.
And we are, and we will be. Thanks, Tom Price and Elena Rodriguez. Of course, they're coming up with their own show every single day here for the rest of the week at the World Meeting of Families here in Philadelphia. Teresa Tomeo, Catholic Connection, also broadcasting live. And please follow us both online. We have a wonderful arrangement between Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We have a great partnership. And so please follow us, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. Now, let me tell you the guests this morning for Catholic Connection. I'm very excited. I get to talk to Greg Erlinson from Our Sunday Visitor. He's a great writer, speaker, author. He's also the publisher of the paper that I write for. I also write for the National Catholic Register, but Greg is also the publisher of Our Sunday Visitor. I've had a column there for many years on the culture, so I'm excited to talk with Greg. Marge Fenelon, who's one of the speakers, also an author, she's going to be joining us at 8:40 Eastern Time. If you're listening listening on the East Coast. And as Tom said, James Littleton, who was all about building up the family, he's going to be with us. And also friends from the Archdiocese of Detroit, they're involved in a very interesting national ministry known as Couple Prayer, Ken and Signe Castell. And so prayer is, of course, a key to keeping the family together, because a family that prays together
stays together.
Bada boom, bada bing. Skaboom. All right. It is 8:10 Eastern Time, 10 minutes past the hour. Wherever you're listening, we're glad you're tuned in to EWTN, Global Catholic Radio. Let's take a look at the news this morning before we take a break and bring on our first guest for Catholic Connection. That would be Greg Erlandson from our Sunday Visitor. Pope Francis is celebrating his second public mass during this papal visit to Cuba, reflecting that an encounter with Christ has the power to transform even the most rejected sinners into missionaries. He said the gaze of Jesus gives rise to missionary activity, service, and self-giving. Holy Father's comments, drawing his inspiration from the conversion of St. Matthew, of course, whose feast day was celebrated yesterday, September 21st, he said, Jesus' love heals our short-sightedness and pushes us to look beyond, not to be satisfied with appearance or what is politically correct. Reminding the faithful that they too are sinners, the Holy Father calling them to take a moment and recall with gratitude and happiness those situations, that moment when the merciful gaze of God was felt in our own lives. The Holy Father, about to become the first pope to visit the World Trade Center Museum and Memorial, Sarah Lee Kessler has that story.
When the Pope enters the memorial site on Friday, he'll be greeted by 9/11 families and first responders.
They represent New York City, the Pentagon, Flight 93.
Memorial President Joe Daniels, people directly connected to the terror attacks, entered a lottery for the chance to stand at the reflecting pool when the pontiff arrives. 1,000 were selected through random drawings. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
Some Valley school districts and other news are still keeping buses off Interstate 10 despite the arrest of a suspect in a string of recent shootings. Director of the Arizona Department of Public Safety, Colonel Frank Milstead, telling Fox News on the record that he's confident they have their guy.
Coincidentally, there's been no incidents since he's been locked up with projectiles or with the gun, and there's been no gun shootings since that gun was pawned.
Leslie Merritt is in custody, suspected of being tied to 4 of the 11 shootings. Merritt claims that his gun was at a pawn shop during the time of the shootings. Colonel Milstead says investigators have extensive pawn records acquired via search warrants that support their case. Some schools are worried copycats might still be out there. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker out of the race for the Republican presidential nomination.
I believe that I'm being called to lead by helping to clear the field in this race so that a positive conservative message can rise to the top of the field.
Speaking in Madison yesterday, Walker remarking that he's not seeing much optimism in the current Republican race for the White House. He said it has drifted into personal attacks. Walker also taking a shot at Donald Trump by saying other candidates should actually drop out so that voters can focus on what he called an alternative to the current frontrunner. Walker's poll numbers dropped after the Republican debate last week. Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson standing by his comments that a Muslim should not be elected president. Carson speaking about the subject on Hannity last night.
We do not put people in at the leadership of our country whose faith might interfere with them carrying out the duties of the Constitution.
Carson saying the comments he made on NBC's Meet the Press Sunday were meant to describe his rejection of a radical Muslim who wants a theocracy. He said he would not support a Christian if they wanted to install a theocratic government. Carson adding that he'd be open to electing someone with a Muslim background as long as they rejected some tenets of Islam and swore to place the Constitution above their religion. The White House is defending, as Terry Moore reports, plans to bring more Syrian refugees into the U.S.
The White House originally agreed to accept 10,000 Syrian refugees. That number will increase to 85,000 next year and 100,000 in 2017.
What the United States is most interested in is bringing those refugees who are in the most desperate situation to the United States.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
And these are the people who are described by refugee experts as the most vulnerable.
The plan could face a roadblock in Congress. Some Republicans are worried that ISIS fighters might get into the U.S. under the guise of being refugees. I'm Terry Moore in Washington.
ICE is threatening a cyber attack against the UK on Wednesday. The site Intel Group, which monitors jihadist social media, saying the terrorist group posting a video showing Western hostages kneeling in the dirt while the threat was made. The threat coming weeks after a British drone strike killed an ISIS fighter of British nationality who was suspected of planning attacks on the UK. UK Defense Secretary Michael Fallon says the government is ready to respond with more drone strikes if plans to attack Britain are uncovered. And there's more bad news for smokers. Researchers publishing in the Lancet Diabetes Journal suggesting that those who smoke run a greater risk of type 2 diabetes. Data from nearly 6 million people showing that current smokers have about 1.4 times the risk of type 2 diabetes than those who don't light up. That risk falls to about 1.2 times 5 years after quitting. And finally, in our news segment at 15 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, we don't know whether an apple a day will actually keep the doctor away, but it's a good way to get children's attention. A new survey finds apples are far and away the favorite fruit of kids and teenagers. Researchers for the CDC's National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey report 29% of kids and teens like apples the best. The survey involving more than 3,000 young people between the ages of 2 and 19 published in the journal Pediatrics. 16 minutes past the hour, you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're live from Philadelphia, the floor of the Convention Center. And our phone lines are open if you have a question about what's happening here in Philly. We have experts on set with us, including Greg Erlinson from Our Sunday Visitor. And their booth is actually right behind us, or technically in front of us, behind some other booths, but it's huge. We'll talk about that and much more about the importance of this gathering here in Philadelphia. We're covering it live all week long. We're also covering the Holy Father as he wraps up his historic visit to Cuba. He is on his way today to Washington, and then will be here in Philadelphia this weekend, and so will we. We'll be right back.
To be honest, I still can't quite believe that I'm here, even just in Washington, D.C., first of all, studying at Theological College right across the street. But just being here, my first year, and the Pope is here at the same time, it's an incredible experience.
It's going to be my first time seeing the Pope, and I'm really overwhelmed here that he's coming here.
It's 18 minutes past the hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection. We are live from Philadelphia, EWTN. Stay tuned to all of our coverage, and you can find out all the basics at EWTN.com. And what you just heard were comments from two seminarians who are excited to be in the United States for the upcoming visits of the Holy Father to Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. And we're excited to be here on the convention floor. It sounds like if you hear some of the noise in the background that there's still a little bit of a setup going on. Yesterday was a full setup day. And we literally, as Tom Price and I said earlier, had forklifts going back and forth in front of our booth. But that's fine. It's all part of the ambiance here as we get ready to welcome the Holy Father to Philadelphia. He's coming this week. In the meantime, press conference today at 11:30 with Archbishop Paglia from the Pontifical Council of the Family and Archbishop Chaput from the Archdiocese of Philly. That will take place at 11:30, and then the opening ceremonies, and then a beautiful Mass this afternoon, and EWTN is covering it all. Right now, though, it's my pleasure to introduce you to someone that I've known for a while and actually been writing for. How many years have I been writing for Our Sunday Visitor? It's at least seven, isn't it?
At least.
Yeah,
it's
and I really enjoy, and thank you for the opportunity to write about the culture.
That's great. That's
really
great.
Appreciate it.
You
good to see you again.
Job.
Greg Erlinson, of course, from OSV. So the main reason you're here, obviously, is to cover, as a Catholic entity, cover the event, but you're also involved in promoting some works that you're doing with the Vatican, correct?
Right. We're actually, it's multifaceted because we were the official publisher of the preparatory catechesis,
right.
Love is Our Mission, the Family Fully Alive. So we've been working with them for the past couple of years and working with the Vatican. And we have a large exhibit here because I'm a journalist by training. I love the idea of being able to cover it a little bit. And then we're also working with the Vatican for the Year of Mercy moving forward. So we've been doing a lot, and we've been looking forward to this for so long. We have a big team here. We're very excited about it.
In terms of the work that you've been doing with the Vatican, what are the key points that they want you to emphasize, not only with the catechesis, but also with some of the other publications that you're working on with them?
Well, I think the Vatican's approach to these issues really seems to be growing in sophistication. So, for example, the Year of Mercy books, we're going to be doing 8 books. For the Year of Mercy, it'll be the Saints in Mercy, Parables in Mercy, Psalms in Mercy, and it's Popes in Mercy, and go down the list. And they picked one worldwide publisher for each major language group. So we got picked for that one. And the books are slim. They want to get them into people's hands. I think it's goes along well with this papacy that they're trying to reach people where they're at, and they're not just issuing a lengthy tome. I mean, as a publisher, I was thinking just run all these books together into one big book and call it a day. But truthfully, you know, just about 100 pages, and they'll be able to use it in Bible studies or in small groups and parishes. And I think that's emblematic of what the Vatican's trying to do. It's really trying to get out there into to the grassroots, just to reach people, not only to be communicating to bishops' conferences or to bishops, but to go beyond that. And you see that with the Pope's social media presence as well, that same idea.
Do you think we've ever been better situated to reclaim the culture? I mean, if you look around at an event like this, and I was at the Eucharistic Congress speaking in Charlotte last weekend, phenomenal amount of people, different apostolates, people that are just on the ground out there in the real world making a difference. I can't remember growing up being a cradle Catholic. When I went to high school in the 70s and then graduated from college in 81, then working in the media, they did not have what we have now, especially with, obviously, Catholic media and the growth of Catholic radio at EWTN. But looking around and all these very nuanced individual apostolates that are hitting really specific areas in the culture that need to be addressed.
That's right. We OSV Newsweekly just did an article on this amazing group of evangelists that came out of Steubenville, for example, in the 90s that were sort of built around Scott Hahn,
right,
and have gone out and borne fruit all over the country, Curtis Martin and many others. You know, I got into Catholic journalism right at the beginning of the 1980s. So John Paul II was still making his way. He was the Restorationist Pope, was how they were calling them. And I think that there's been a great tonal shift. What I find so exciting is really the younger people, I'd say under 40, who are really energizing the church, and even the millennials that I'm seeing. We're in a situation where, you know, glass half full, glass half empty. I mean, there's many worrisome signs in the culture, but the worrisome signs may be provoking a kind of a rebirth among the committed Catholic faithful, a little bit how vocations after the sexual abuse crisis, against all reason, vocations sprang up from that. And I think the adversity that we're experiencing in the culture may in fact be energizing people at a grassroots level. And what we're seeing here, I mean, this is a record attendance for a world meeting of families.
Is it really? I was going to ask you, what have been some of the other numbers?
That is, I think Milan was something like 6,000, 8,000, something like that. So it's really a great tribute to Philadelphia, to Archbishop Chaput, to all the work that his team did, that we've had so many people. But I'm hoping there'll be a real ripple effect from this, because the Catholic teaching on the family is absolutely the most necessary thing for us to be talking about in our culture today.
Yeah, and not just for the Catholic Church, because we believe as Catholics we have the fullness of truth. It's not just truth for Catholics, it's truth for everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, without getting into all the natural law arguments, but there's something very basic and commonsensical about what our teaching is. And unfortunately, our culture has wandered away from that, and it's picking up speed in some ways. So we're needed more than ever. And I think the Pope's trip here will really call attention to this teaching.
Isn't it interesting, and we've been chatting about this here at EWTN for the last couple of weeks, that the church that they claim, and Tom just mentioned this earlier before you came on, the church that they claim is so irrelevant, backward, and out of touch. The whole world is watching us right now.
And
I actually said, you know, in an interview the other day, I said, if we don't matter, then why is everybody covering us? Just leave us alone. Go talks amongst yourselves. Let us do our own thing. But all eyes are on the Pope. All eyes are on the church. All eyes are on Philadelphia.
That's absolutely true. And, you know, there's a good precursor to this, is to go back to 2010, when Pope Benedict went to England. Everyone was predicting the demise.
Yep.
Everyone
mm-hmm.
said this is going to be a disaster. He's irrelevant. The church in England was a shell. Nothing's going to happen. And it was a triumph. And I think that the message is a compelling message, and the church continues to compel people to listen to it, to watch it. Even when they're arguing against it, we're in the forefront of the debate, which I think is so important.
Latest edition of OSV was talking about the Pew Forum survey, and I actually wrote a column about it, actually, before the article that you published, and you gave all the details and the statistics. One of the things that struck me was the amount of people that, even though they're not practicing their faith, still want to identify as Catholic.
Correct.
And even those people said, you know, I would think about coming back, but they can't imagine, quote unquote, officially leaving the church,
right,
like walking away from it, saying I'm making a concerted effort and decision to leave the church. They said they can't imagine doing that. And I thought, wow,
right,
that says something. Even if they're not practicing, there's something tugging at their heart, don't you think?
Yes, and that's really the genius of St. John Paul II, was that whole idea of the new evangelization. The new evangelization is reaching those Catholics and trying to revitalize them, trying to bring them back into the energy and the mercy of the faith. And I think people don't just walk away. And even when they do walk away, there's this lingering connection, I think, that is not ethnic. It's something deeper and profoundly spiritual because of the truths of our church. And I do think that there's signs of hope, even in the Pew survey that many people have been wringing their hands about.
My whole thing was, I think it's a glass half full versus half empty, because
absolutely,
I think people are still drawn, for whatever reason, as you said, to the faith. We have about 2.5 minutes left before we have to take a break, but I do want to talk when we come back about something that I think is so unique in Catholic media, where there's so much cooperation between the different entities, mm-hmm, to cover events, to work together. And, for example, I know that many of the people that write for you also work for EWTN and appear on EWTN shows. Many of the authors are writers for you and are also personalities in EWTN. And there's a synergy with all the Catholic media that we don't see, actually, with other media. So I want to talk about that,
sure,
because I think it's really unique. But before we go, are you speaking this week?
No, I'm facilitating a panel,
okay,
but not speaking.
What panel?
So,
what's it about?
My mind just went totally blank on that, but it's going to be really good.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll make sure that we're all there for that. Well, the press conference should be interesting.
The press conference is going to be great, and I'm glad that Archbishop Paglia is here. People get to meet him.
Have you met him?
I have met him.
Isn't he a hoot?
Yeah,
he's such a, like, he's, yeah, a little boy. He gets so excited about everything.
He's very good.
And of course, Archbishop Chaput is one of my rock stars.
He really is.
Can't say enough about him. He was gracious enough to endorse two of my books. So it's like, wow.
He's done some great writing himself.
Yep.
And when you see what he's done here in Philadelphia, you know, vocations are peaking now. He came in here. He's had to turn it around financially.
Yeah.
It was demoralized.
Yep.
He did a great job in Denver, and he's doing a great job here.
Well, I think if you look at when he was in Denver, and now, of course, you've got Archbishop Aquila, who's another incredible, mm-hmm, leader, all of the different apostolates that came out of the Archdiocese of,
yes,
Denver that are now just flourishing. And, of course, Sherry Waddell's work with her work with Intentional Disciples and actually flourished under Archbishop Chaput. Focus started under all of these different ministries. Endow is here, educating on the nature and dignity of women. And they're another apostolate that was born actually out of the interest in the work of the Archdiocese of Denver when it was run by Archbishop Chaput. It is just about the bottom of the hour. We'll be back with more from Philadelphia, live from the Convention Center floor with Greg Erlandson, all talking about all things Catholic. That's what we're about here all week long. We'll be right back.
It is a gathering to look at all issues that families face, challenges and opportunities, the joys of family life, and to shine the spotlight on the critical role of families. This day, you and I can't even possibly imagine the electricity that is going to be in the air. And I predict that it's just something that will resonate and remain with us for decades.
That is the executive director of the World Meeting of Families, Donna Crilly Farrell, speaking with reporters regarding the impact of the World Meeting of Families, not only on the city of Philadelphia, of course, but the country and the entire world, because this is a global event with 17,000 pilgrims from around the United States and the world registered to attend the various meetings and talks and discussions, including beautiful events taking place today with the opening ceremonies and the opening mass. Our phone number on EWTN is the same. Jot it down, 877-573-7825 for this program, Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. We are live on the convention center floor, and don't let the beeping and the background noise, if you can hear it, throw you because it's still setup time, and we call that ambiance or natural sound. So it's exciting because we're literally on the ground floor as they continue to get ready for the Pope's arrival this Saturday and for this massive conference going on all week long. Right now we have the privilege and the honor of chatting with Greg Erlandson, of course, from Our Sunday Visitor. He's an author, a speaker, and the panel that you're going to MC is on Lexio Divina. That's
Lexio Divina, that's right. So yeah. Which is a great gift for the church and for families.
Yeah,
actually.
And it's something actually that my spiritual director told me about years ago, and I have to say, it is a great way to study Scripture.
That's
applying
right.
Lexio Divina, which just means a spiritual or divine reading, but it allows you to really take time to pick whether it's a paragraph or one verse. And really take that in and actually go into the time of that particular area of Scripture that you're reading.
If I can do a little self-promotional plug here, we have a new curriculum for grammar school and for parishes called Alive in Christ, and we actually build it around Lectio Divina. In the beginning, we start with Scripture. What is God saying to the children? Instead of reflecting just on your own experience, it's more turning towards God and saying, what is God saying to me now, and listening mm-hmm. to it. So it's a very small part of each chapter, but it gets people interested. And I think, you know, again, the return to Scripture that we're seeing is another one of those very positive developments yeah. that we're seeing in the contemporary church.
And actually, it's pretty brilliant to apply it with children, because children are so visual now because of all the technology. So that's one way to really get their attention.
That's right.
We were talking before the break about the very unique relationship that exists in the Catholic world among the Catholic media. You want to chat about that a bit? Because I certainly never saw that when I was in the secular
media. That's right. That's right. There's a lot of stories of the hyper-competitiveness there. I think that obviously there's some friendly competition between the various news and media outlets, but I really think it's quite collaborative. I was on the board of the Association of Catholic Publishers, and I was president of the Catholic Press Association, and in all those different areas, people really do collaborate well and have a respect for each other. You know, we're all in the trenches, and I do think it's quite unique. And of course, we're mission oriented. Mm-hmm. We've worked with EWTN for years and respect everything that EWTN is doing. And of course, its growth has been phenomenal. But we're all trying to serve the church and spread the good news of the gospel. And I do think that changes how we interact with each other. And there are certain areas that are very highly competitive, but I really do think that's one of the pleasures of this business. And I the longer I've been in it, the more I appreciate that.
Well, one of the examples, I think, is what happened at the Courage Conference in the Archdiocese of Detroit back in August, where we were there in terms of covering it for Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio. And, of course, you were there. National Catholic Register was there. Amazing diocesan papers from around the country were there. And we were all sharing it. And what's interesting about this large group, and I know it's still niche, but this large group of Catholic media outlets is they're all Orthodox, and they're all yes. upholding the teachings of the church. They're not out to be a dissenter. They're not out to break down the church or to attack the church. They're here working all together to uplift the church and put out the truth.
That's right, and I think that's part of that shared mission that we all have. And that conference was really interesting. Our Sunday Visitor helped to fund it. We weren't able to publish the proceedings in the time frame that they needed them to be published. So we relinquished that, and Ignatius did a terrific
right.
job
mm-hmm.
in publishing them. And it's an ongoing conversation that's now going to move to Rome. I believe they're going to be...
Actually, yeah, Janet Smith, who was from, of right. course, my area, the Archdiocese of Detroit, is heading up a conference, a similar one,
right.
that's going to be right before the Synod begins. So I think that'll probably be next week, because the Synod is starting in early October.
That's right.
So,
that's
yeah.
right. So that is, I think we're seeing more of this, too, but that goes back to your earlier observation. There's a certain energy that's taking place right now. I think we're seeing that more, and the people who are mission focused and evangelization focused are pulling together, and we have good relations with lots of different people.
We even see that on the radio end. For example, I'm often asked to be a speaker or a guest as an expert on women's issues or the culture on Relevant Radio, which
mm-hmm.
is technically, I guess, in the real world, you could say they're a competitor of ours, but there's a lot of cross promotion. There's a lot of helping each other. I'm on their morning show quite a bit, their afternoon shows quite a bit, talking about issues. And so I really like that, because it's not something that you see out there in the secular media, where their main goal is obviously to either sell newspapers or increase ratings. because they have to feed the monster 24/7. But we're all about the gospel, and I think it's we're so situated right now. And Al Crest always talks about this.
Yes.
To take back the culture. I mean, yes. If people were here, and that's why I'm glad we're able to cover this in so many different ways, and in so many different venues. If people were here to see this, they would get one of the reasons I love doing things like this because it keeps me going. Because I realize, look, God is still in charge, and He has a lot of foot soldiers out there. Don't you think?
That is absolutely true. And one of the things that I hope will come out of this is that people can take the energy from this conference and bring it back to the diocese, their own diocese, and to their parishes. Continue with study groups. Focus on the family. Read the preparatory catechesis. Read the Pope has given a whole series of Wednesday audiences on the family. Read these things. Meditate on them, and then see what actions they move you to. And I think that's how we're going to really keep this going. It's like World Youth Days. The ripple effect of every World Youth Day has been wonderful, and I hope we see that here as well.
One last question. Going into the big synod it starts October 4th, I'm trying to think. Yeah, and so that's less than 2 weeks away. Concerns? In terms of not so much the fact that we know that the church teaching can't be changed, but a lot of confusion, and you and I have been on the same page on this in terms of the way sometimes a Vatican press office does or does not handle things. I wrote one article saying if I were Vatican press queen for a day. Not that they're asking me for my opinion, but I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, Mamma Mia, can we just get a little bit of coordination here?
Well, I was honored to be picked for that committee that looked at the reform of the Vatican media, so I suppose I didn't really have that fantasy of king for a day, but I did get to see it from the inside a bit. I think, how do they stay ahead of the story?
Right.
And I think people are going to come there trying to make their points. We're seeing that with the Pope's visit. I mean, every group you can imagine has issued a press release claiming him for their own. And there's a lot of spin. I mean, this is, you know, the no spin room. This is the 100% spin 24/7 room,
right,
that we're living in now. And we're going to see that as well with the Synod. So I think it's really, really important that Catholics pay attention to Catholic media, to EWTN, to our Sunday Visitor, whatever they, at their diocesan paper, they have to pay attention to what the Catholic press is saying. They cannot rely on the secular media. It may get the story right some of the time, but there's so many people looking to lobby and to influence what's going on. That's my concern, is that there won't be the confusion that I think we saw come out of the Extraordinary Synod last year.
And again, we can all do our part by sharing great media outlets, sharing articles, sharing links to different programs like this one, and also different publications that are out there. Do the shareable media, spread it on Facebook, your email, Twitter, talk about the real Catholic media.
Exactly.
We're going to be covering these events. Greg, good to see you again.
It's great to see you,
this
Teresa.
Week. Exciting stuff. Greg Erlandson from Our Sunday Visitor. Up next, Marge Fenlon's going to be joining us, and she's talking about her new book and also all about Our Lady, Undoer of Knots. It is 43 minutes past the hour. We are live in Philadelphia from the Convention Center floor, the World Meeting of Families 2015, opening today. We'll be right back. Continuing our coverage of the World Meeting of Families, this is EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. And just a reminder that the Mass is wrapping up in Cuba this morning, and you can follow it on EWTNradio.net. The EWTN app, as well as EWTN television. We continue our coverage here from the floor of the Convention Center. Teresa Tomeo, and also along with me, a wonderful, wonderful host from EWTN Radio, Elena Rodriguez and Tom Price, will be following me at 10 o'clock Eastern Time each morning with their own fabulous show and lineup of guests here from the Convention Center floor. We are booth 513. You don't even really need the number. If you walk into the convention center, and we're in Exhibit Hall C, and we are just pretty much larger than life, right, Elena? I mean, we're big. Go big or go home, that's what I say.
Very visible.
Yes.
We are so delighted to be at this booth. Great location, excellent booth, very visible. We have people coming just to say hi.
Yeah, it's
That's
fun.
How visible it is, and that is beautiful because it's sharing with the family of families.
Yes. And speaking of saying hi, all throughout the week, if you are attending the World Meeting of Families, we are doing meet and greets at particular times.
And
you can meet different media personalities and different authors from EWTN, and we'll be shaking hands and kissing babies. Bring the babies, because we love babies. want to see lots of babies, so it's going to be fun. And that's actually going on all week. But just stop by. We have some wonderful, great, I don't want to say gifts, but they are really gifts. We have wonderful pens and nice EWTN gift bags that you can take with you if you want to walk around and
walk
maybe
softly and
carry a great bag. Where have I heard that before? But, yeah, we have a bag for you, and you can pick up different flyers and brochures and other things from all the different apostolates around the convention center floor. So come on by. We're here, and we're going to be here all week long. Also here with me this morning is someone I have interviewed many times, but first time we're meeting in person. It's so neat because I feel like I've met you before because you've been on the program so many times with your wonderful work and your writings as a mom, as a Catholic mom, as a columnist, and also, of course, as an author and a speaker, Marge Fenlon in the house. Hey there. Good to meet you.
Hey, nice to see you in person. That's what I was waiting for.
Well,
I'm
good.
So happy.
We're glad to make the connection. So what brings you to Philadelphia?
What brings me to Philadelphia? A number of things. I came to do a book signing, and we can talk about the book a little bit later. And I'm also covering the event for the National Catholic Register.
Oh,
so
great.
I've got some very fun stuff I'm looking to write about. And if you're listening, I'm looking for international families. So I'm gonna plug my job here because it's probably, I think, I have the best assignment of all of the reporters because that's my job, is to figure out who's here from where. And I'm blogging for the Register also throughout this week. So.
Okay, so how often are your blogs up on the Register? When can we find them?
I'm working on daily at least.
Okay.
No, I just came in yesterday.
Okay.
So they just said keep them coming. So whatever I find, that's what I'm going to blog about. So at least once a day.
What has impressed you the most since you arrived here, do you think?
By far, the friendliness, no, it's better than that. It's joy. The joy of the people here and the helpfulness. It's a stat, you know, yesterday, and I did blog about this, so, you know, listeners can go back and check about it. But, yesterday I met a couple at the train station because I'm staying a little further out and take the train in the mornings. And I just asked them, are you here for World Meeting of Families? Oh, yes. And oh, they were so excited. So they're originally from Puerto Rico, and they're living in California. And in the conversation, they discovered, you know, this is my first time in Philadelphia. I'd never taken the train. This is all kind of a new adventure. They literally escorted me on, I mean, they were going into the city anyway on the train, but they got off at my stop and walked me to the point where they could point out the convention center.
Aww.
And then they went on their way to go back and, you know, to where they were supposed to be and gave me the whole briefing. It was just in their enthusiasm, it was catchy and it was so beautiful. And that's what I'm seeing over and over and over again is this, everybody wants to help each other because we're all here for the same reason. And the reason is love is our mission. This is it. This is World Meeting of Families.
Right, and the theme is actually Love is Our Mission, the Family Fully Alive.
Exactly.
So, right, yeah. And so you're blogging every day on the Register website, and so people can find you there. As a mom, how important is it, do you think, to have an event like this where families can come and receive strength, support, input, ideas, encouragement?
Oh, my goodness. Boy, I could just, what angle do I take from that?
Yeah.
That's a really good question, Teresa, because as a mom, you know, that's always where my heart is.
Mm-hmm.
Always, it's always home. Even when I'm in the field doing the reporter thing, I'm always thinking of my children. And what I see about this is I'm looking at my children who are now all young adults. I have a granddaughter.
Congratulations.
You
don't look old enough to be a grandma.
Well, I don't feel old. No, I don't feel wise enough. I sure feel old. But, you know, and I'm looking at, you know, this next generation. So I've got two married. I've got one with a little girl. And I'm thinking they don't get much support. Not really. They have good friends, but there's so many people that they know who are cohabiting, who are, you know, waiting for exactly the right moment to have children, and they've got their lives, they think, all planned out, and this is really contrary to what we believe in our Catholic faith. And so this amazing event, that just doesn't seem like a good enough word, but
a
celebration, I guess, is a testimony from the worldwide Catholic community as in terms of how important family is. And so even though now my children couldn't make it, but they know I'm here and they understand the magnitude of this event. And I think I'm happy for that as a mom, that they understand that there are people. What are we're going to be a million people in 1.5
yeah.
million, I think, for the papal events. So to know that and realize, wow, this is all these people coming together for this. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm so thankful for it.
I'm really glad that you're blogging every day, and I'm glad that you're here and that we're here covering this Congress every day, because there's a great deal of attention, of course, and for obvious reasons, and we're glad about that too, on the Holy Father. He's wrapping up in Cuba mm-hmm. this morning. He arrives in D.C. today. He'll go to New York before he comes here at the end of the week. But I really want people to understand that this, as you said, is something very special. This only happens every 3 years. It was started by John Paul II in 1994, and this is the first time the World Meeting of Families has actually been held in the United States.
Yeah, it's huge. It's and the first time Pope Francis has
been
to
the United States at all, ever, in his entire life.
Exactly.
Which is, I think, really interesting for him. I was thinking about that this morning, getting ready to come over here, that he's never been to the United States, period. And we think that the whole world revolves around us. It's all about the Americans and what the Americans think and say. And here is the Holy Father, the Roman Pontiff, the leader of the worldwide Catholic Church, who has never been to the United States of America. I think that kind of helps us put things in perspective that, hey, guess what? It's not all about us.
Yeah.
It's all about God.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm excited that he's coming, because I was in the Vatican and didn't have a private meeting with him, but got mighty close. Long story, but I was there with a seminar. And in any case, I got to see him up close mm-hmm. among the people. And he's such a... Boy, I hope that it's not improper to say it like this, but he's such a hands-on pope.
Yeah,
he just—you watch him work his way through the crowd, and the funniest thing was watching the Secret Service guys looking at their clocks, and they're like, oh, their watches, and they're like, oh, you know, and where is it? And they're looking at the crowd like, where is he now? And they're changing their routes and things, because this is he has this heart for the people, and he sees and he goes.
Yep.
And this is what I'm hoping is, and I'll bet you I'm sure it will happen here. He sees and he goes. These are his people. He loves family. Listen, we've been, for a whole year, he's been giving us words of wisdom about family, mm-hmm. and now he's coming here to talk to the United States families, obviously, yes, worldwide. But here, we need to listen, because there's a sense that he's going to say something very important for the American family, once he's here and starting to talk to the World Meeting of Family folk.
We're chatting with Marge Fenelon. She's an author, speaker, a mom, and she's a grandma now. Congratulations. She's blogging all week long and covering this for our National Catholic Register. So do you have a blog up today yet, or is there something there people can read?
Should be. I'm so busy sending stuff in, I haven't had a chance to look it up, but there should be one up there right now.
All right, so ncregister.com, or you can, of course, find the link at our homepage at ewtn.com. You're here all week?
I am here all week. Yes, I am. Yes, it's a long story. I will have to miss the papal events. I won't be there for everything. There's been a death in the family.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I got to change my plans a little bit. But yes, I'm here all week, and I'm going to be following the whole papal visit and blogging about it right through. I'm just waiting to hear what he says. And so toward the end of the week, that's more of what's going to be my focus.
Yeah, I'm doing some blogging too as well, and reporting with Al Cresta every afternoon on Cresta in the Afternoon, and also doing some secular interviews. So I'm going to be watching closely, especially what happens at the White House, where the Vatican was made aware of the attempts to bring people with certain agendas before the Holy Father so he could be used as a quote-unquote, you know, endorser of their particular groups and entities. But I think he's going to handle that very well, because they've already put up the warning flags that they don't want the Holy Father to be used by that. But most importantly, I think this will be an encouraging moment for the United States, and I hope will bring the people, the 70 million who still identify as Catholic, back to the Catholic Church in
full. Me too.
It's almost 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll be right back on Catholic Connection with more coverage from the convention floor. Stay tuned. Left quickly, the name of your book.
Name of my book is Our Lady Undoer of Knots, A Living Novena.
We'll have to have you back on to talk more about that.
Love to.
Our Lady Undoer of Knots. We'll be right back. Catholic Connection, live from Philadelphia. Stay tuned. More coming up.